Numbers chapter number 21, we'll be reading a few scriptures here. Chapter number 21, verse number 6. 21 and 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The serpents, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. You take away the serpents from us." Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. Came to pass that if a serpent had bit any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. Lift your hands one more time and ask God to touch you and the one beside you right now. Great God, touch the congregation tonight. Oh. Numbers chapter number 21, we'll be reading a few scriptures here. Chapter number 21, verse number 6. 21 and 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The serpents, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. You take away the serpents from us." Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. Came to pass that if a serpent had bit any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. The children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. Lift your hands one more time and ask God to touch you and the one beside you right now. Great God, touch the congregation tonight. Oh, Lord. Move on us tonight. God of heaven, breathe on us tonight. Oh, God. Jesus' lovely name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated.
Even a beast, his failure to fasten into one, stirs up his appetite to fasten his teeth into another. Where the Spirit of Christ is, the devil seeks to destroy, amen, and kill, amen. But Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly." Tonight, you are my brothers and you are my sisters. We are not fighting against one another, but we are fighting against the lion that's roaring. And we're fighting against the three-letter word, fear. out. Oh, help me while I teach just a little while tonight. The Bible said, amen, in the book of Numbers, that because of their murmuring, and because of their complaining, and because of their rebellion, and their talking against the men of God, that God sent fiery serpents among them. And the Bible said, amen, that as many as were bit by the serpent, amen, and much of Israel died. Amen. I want to preach a little while tonight on bit. Amen. Bit. You see, Eve in the Garden of Eden was bit by sin. Amen. Sin with all of its craftiness. Sin with all of its poisonous. That serpent of sin, amen, reached out and latched his tongue and his mouth and bit Eve, bringing the poison of sin. And James is saying here, when you're tempted, say you're not tempted of God, for you are tempted when you're drawn away of your own lust and your enticed. You know, amen, that's the serpent, the charming of the devil, the charming of that old serpent. When he gets you close enough, the lack is teasing you, bringing you down to utter death, to utter destruction. Oh, thanks to God, pray. I feel all of hell in my face tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We do not know what we're playing with, young folks. We do not know what we're playing with, church folks. The devil, the Bible says, is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. He is on the move constantly throughout this world. Amen. Abiding. Amen. And tonight, whether you realize it or not, from the time that you were born, there was sin in your heart and rebellion against God. But in the age of accountability, amen, sin begins to seek out you even greater than the serpent of sin, looking for you just to latch a hold of your life. Hallelujah. There's been times in the midnight hour when I'd get out of the pulpit and the Holy Ghost fall and the glory of God move, and I think, man, what a service, and lay down. But in the midnight hour, you could hear the slithering of the serpent. Oh, God. I preached in pulpit in the past 9 months up in the state of Virginia, 45 minutes from Washington, D.C., and watched his young folks sit on the back row for 2 weeks. I preached and squalled and cried to everything in me was hurting inside my soul. My belly felt like my entrails, amen, were being ripped to shreds. And young folks look at me with a smile on their face as if to say, you're not good enough to preach to me. But it wasn't them. It was a serpent, a sin that was raging in their lives that does not want you to hear this message. There's somebody in this house tonight. You've been bit by sin. You've been bit by the serpent of sin. Hallelujah. 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 The bite of the serpent is painful. The fiery serpent, the Bible said, burning venom. Fiery serpent. Amen. There is no limit of the poison spreading. Once it gets a hold of you, sin begins to run throughout your soul, killing everything about God in your life, killing your desire. Come on now. I dare to say that the prodigal son played around in the yard and got close enough to the border, though he was still home, and though he still laid down in the father's house, and though he slept in his bed way before he ever left of the serpent was running through his veins. And finally, he pushed everything aside. And he says, Father, I'm leaving the far country. It's calling me. It was the back of the serpent.
Take my time tonight. Amen. There was a man one time. He meant construct being a painting. He was be painting this painting on this wall. And he began to look for somebody, a baby that he could, you know, painters have certain things that they want to see. He meant it's got to be perfect. So they began to look for the perfect baby to draw. They were going to show, even from the crib, from the cradle, from the manger, all the way to the cross, he was going to construct the portrait. And so the story says that it got this baby. This woman was walking by the place where he's painting downtown. Said as she walked by, he said, ma'am, excuse me. Said, can I use your baby in my painting? She said, sure. She said, it'll be fine with me. So I sat there and she held that baby as that painter drew the baby and used that little baby as the baby Jesus. As he looked at all the features of that child and he drew that painting. Well, the story says that he got halfway through his construction, all the way to the cross, that he began to look for a man that would portray sin. He wanted to portray a sinner knelt down at the cross of Calvary. Amen. So he began to look for somebody that would portray, amen, as sin. Amen. For 20 years, this man had worked and strived, amen, in this painting. This is a true story, but couldn't seem to find anybody that would look like the portrait of sin. Till finally, one morning as he got to his painting and began to start painting on the wall outside of this store in town, he began to start the paint and looking, fixing up some touches. As he turned and looked, and here stood this man, even ravaging looking man, messed up young boy, looked like sin even had took its toll in his life. And this 20-something-year-old boy was weeping and sobbing. Amen. And then the man said, what's wrong with you, son? And the man looked at him and said, hey, you're the one. I want to use you. Can I paint you kneeling down at this cross? Can I paint you as a sinner at the cross of Calvary? And the boy began to weep and cry. And the painter said, what's wrong? Why are you crying so bad? He said, painter, sir, you don't remember me. He said, but I was the little baby that you used in the portrait for the manger scene. Oh, I want to tell you, sin separates you. Sin gives a degradation in life. It takes you down. It takes it down. It takes it down. Oh, God, help me. Oh, amen. I remember in school, my ninth grade year, amen, when I got saved that year, eighth grade, August 30th, and the start of my ninth grade, got saved. I was in school, and we had a flood. In my hometown, we were going to school in tents and buses and trailers. In my PE class, it was this big old boy, senior that year. Picked on me every day. I mean, he's one of the strongest boys on the football team. He could whoop anybody. He held the records in our town. Amen. He was huge. Amen. Big muscular boy. Nobody messed with him in school. He could bully around who he wanted to. I'm not exaggerating, but he was bigger than anybody I'd ever seen in my hometown. But this young boy would mock me and push me around.
And I just look at him and say, please, Wade, leave me alone. Don't mess with me. And he would begin to try to say things that I didn't want to hear. I'd put my finger in my ear. And I'd say, please, Wade, don't say them things around me. Amen. He graduated. And I went on through my school year. After I graduated in June 1993, in September of that same year, I was preaching a tent meeting. When in the middle of the darkness on Monday night, the first, second night of tent meeting, preaching that night, amen, on this something bigger than you. There's something in your life bigger than what you are. When out of this darkness, shades of darkness, drove this beat up old car, and out of it stood this big old, amen, overgrown man. Amen, and he ducked his head to come in my tent, and he sat down, and I realized that this young boy was the same one that used to mock me, amen, and pick at me, and make fun of me, but now he's sitting in the congregation where I'm preaching. And brother, I want to tell you, I didn't get mad and bust him up. Brother, I went to reaching for his soul. Amen. I said, you make it whoop everybody in town. You make it beat everybody in town. But hear me tonight. They something got a hold of you that you can't whoop. It's going to take you down. It's going to destroy you. Oh, God. In about that time, at 6 foot something, boy stood to his feet and with a loud voice screamed, Rev, can you help me? I said, come on, Wade. I sure I'll take it to Jesus. And down that aisle, we walked. We beat the altar for an hour and a half. Oh, weeping and crying. Even I want to tell you tonight, sin's bigger than what you are. You think you got it under control, but you don't got it under control. It's got you in control. It's in control of your mind. It's in control of your soul. My God, raise your head tonight and ask God to help us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Amen. I want to preach just a little while and a bit. I looked and studied, amen, serpents and snakes. And there's 2,700 kinds of snakes in the world. 270 of them types, amen, 270 types of them are poisonous enough to kill. The first snake that I studied about is called the Black Mamba. Amen. And this snake, amen, is not the greatness of his bigness that he is, but the greatness of this snake, this Black Mamba, is in his speed. The encyclopedia said this Black Mamba can travel up to 7 miles per hour. Come on now. When he gets on your trail, come on, he can chase you down. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. I want to tell you, young folks, you get to playing around sin. Come on, sin will go to chasing you down. Amen. Come on now. He knows where you're at. This Black Mama traveled up to 7 miles per hour. Even there's been young folks in my ministry since I got started. Over 20-something young folks in my youth group. Now I can count them on this hand how many still saved. All because the bit of the bite of the serpent. Even I watch them come back to church with messed up homes and messed up lives. Bit by the serpent of sin. Amen. I remember one night after I first got started, even evangelizing, I was preaching and
Things were going kind of slow. You preachers know how it is. When you're getting started evangelizing, they were going slow. The devil was giving me a battle in a fist. And I was fighting with everything I had to fight. And I remember one night, this young boy walked in with a head bandana wrapped around his head, flip-flops on, holes in his britches all the way down. I'm talking about rough looking. Looked like he'd just come out of a bra somewhere. He'd been a fighting. Come in and sit on the bench. He'd been in the Lord move that night, and somebody got to preaching on hell and testifying on hell and took over. He come down to the altar. An hour and a half I prayed. An hour and a half we cried. Somebody says, who is this? They said, you see that man and woman? I said, yeah. They said, that's his grandma and grandpa, both saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. There's his mother, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought, but how in the world could this boy get in this shape? Brother Thurman, he wept and he cried and he beat the floor. I watched as this boy, 22 years old, crawled on his hands and his knees around that building, screaming to the top of his lungs, let me feel your spirit one more time. Deal with me, God, one more time. Let me feel conviction, God, like I used to feel when I was just a little boy. Let me feel conviction. Even 2.5 hours, he beat walls, he beat doors, he screamed, and I stepped back about 5 feet, and the Lord spoke to me something, Brother Billy. Amen. I'll never forget it as long as I live. God spoke to my heart and said, you see him, if you ever leave me, you'll be in that shape within 5 years. The Holy Ghost said, that's you in 5 years. Help me while I preach. I want to tell you tonight, the life of sin will take you down. It'll take you down, down, further than you want to go. Even the black mama has seen on the trail of young boys, of young girls chasing them. The next day I studied about, not only preach long tonight, the next one they call the ring hogs. Even are in just plain Southern Alabama language, the spitting cobra. Hallelujah. They say this cobra can spit venom up to 6 or 8 feet. Amen. This cobra can spit, amen, without even ever touching you. This cobra can spit even 6 to 8 feet. I want to tell you, you don't play with sin. Come on now, do you hear me? Amen. Even 6 to 8 feet it spit, and it aims for the eyes of this enemy. Are you hearing me? It aims for the eyes of its enemy. And the first thing the victim of the spitting cobra takes place is he becomes blind. The poison blinds his eyes. And you'll have to say, we've got pastors and we've got churches that have been bit even by the spitting cobra. They are blind. Even they are deceived. Amen. When the spitting cobra spit the venom in the eyes, it blinds them and it seeps down until it controls their whole nervous system. Amen. Until the victim is dead and the snake waits. He never goes to the enemy. He spits, waits for it to die. Then he begins to eat what he has killed. Oh my God, I feel like preaching. Oh, if you're here tonight, amen, come on now. I want to tell you, we're living in an age of deception where folks are believing a lie and are believe being damned. Come on here. I'm a feeling like preaching here tonight, Brother Robinson. I'm a telling you, if you ain't living
as good as you was 10 years ago. You've been bit by the serpent. If you think you're all right tonight, amen, make heart. They've been young folks. Hallelujah. There's been young folks. There's been 3 people that have looked at me. Amen. Come on now. Them in backslid condition. Come on, doing things that they know better to do. That they look at me and say, I'm still full of the Holy Ghost. I'm still full of power. I'm closer to God tonight than I've ever been. You want to know what? They've been bit by the spitting cobra. Their eyes are blind. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house here tonight. I want to tell you something. Amen. The Bible said on that day, many is going to say, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we heal the sick? But tears are going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Come on now. They've got a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Isaiah chapter, I can't remember exactly. It was chapter 5. I can't remember. I want to say 5. The Bible said in those days, 7 women shall take hold of 1 man. Now, a preacher friend of mine told me he felt like the Lord gave him some insight on that scripture. He said he does not mean that the Lord's talking literally. He said, but he believes the 7 churches are this modern day charismatic movement. Come on, this modern day worldly church. Well, come on now. For the Bible said, they said, taking hold of 1 man, saying we will wear our own apparel. That's what the Bible said. We will wear our own apparel. We will eat our own bread. We will do our own thing. But just give us your name and take away our reproach. We don't want to live the way you want us to live. We just want to use you as our name. Are you with me? My God, I'm up here like preaching here tonight. I don't want to change my ways to live like you want me to. I want to keep doing what I'm doing and keep shouting. I want to keep doing what I'm doing and say I'm still filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, they circus had to pat you on the back and take you right on in. But I'm telling you, my God, find somebody that'll tell you the truth, because you might be bent by the spitting cobra. It was a holiness woman one time. Come on now. It was a holiness woman one time. Sang in the choir, shouted a victory. But a spitting cobra spit in her eyes, blinding her, and then killing her. And though she stood in the church, come on now, she literally went crazy, possessed by the demon forces of hell. She was in a crazy house in a certain state, and a preacher friend of mine went to visit her, went to visit somebody in the crazy house, and said he had to go through certain corridors, certain floors to get to the man he was going to visit. But he said as he walked into this room, where these bunch of ladies were, the doctor was leading him. Said when he walked in, said he looked across that room and there was ladies everywhere playing games. Said, but about this time he heard the awfulest noise as this woman jumped to her feet, knocked her table over, and began to scream like a wild woman. He said she ran over to the wall, and she began to ride on the wall. And said she looked over at him and stared at him and began to scream with a loud voice. I used to be a holiness woman. I used to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I used to sing at the choir. I used to be a holiness woman. Oh, you ain't hearing me tonight. I used to be a wholeness woman. Amen, but she had been bit. Even by the spitting cobra of sin in it had blinded her eyes. Come on now. Oh, I'm feeling like preaching here tonight. Oh, God. Amen. Amen. Let's go on. The next cobra, the next snake I study about was the neurotoxins. Amen. These are the certain kind of snakes. Amen. They affect the nervous system. Oh, my God. I'm going to preach to you tonight. Oh, help me, sweet Holy Ghost. The neurotoxins, it affects the nervous system. Their poison, amen, causes difficulties. Amen, in feeling. Said when he walked in, said he looked across that room and there was ladies everywhere playing games. Said, but about this time he heard the awfulest noise. As this woman jumped to her feet, knocked her table over, and began to scream like a wild woman. He said she ran over to the wall, and she began to ride on the wall. And said she looked over at him, and stared at him, and began to scream with a loud voice, I used to be a holiness woman. I used to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I used to sing in the choir. I used to be a holiness woman. Oh, you ain't hearing me tonight. I used to be a holiness woman. Amen, but she had been bit. Even by the spitting cobra of sin in it had blinded her eyes. Come on now. Oh, I'm feeling like preaching here tonight. Oh! Amen. Amen. Let's go on. The next cobra, the next snake I study about was the neurotoxins. Amen. These are the certain kind of snakes. Amen. They affect the nervous system. Oh, my God. I'm going to preach to you tonight. Oh, help me, sweet Holy Ghost. The neurotoxins, it affects the nervous system. Their poison, amen, causes difficulties. Amen, in feeling. Said, if you leave tonight, I'll never touch you again. Oh, glory. And he said, I ran out of that church. He said, preacher, I found it when it left me. I found it when it left me. He said, I ran back in, but it was too late. It had done gone. You want to know what happened? He had been bit. Amen, by the serpent. Amen, and it had unnerved his nervous system to the point where he could say, he's not preaching to me. He's not talking to me. And if you're in this house tonight and you can't feel conviction and you can't feel the Holy Ghost, it could be that you have been bit by the serpent. You've been bit by the serpent.
The preacher prayed with him for over an hour. Finally, he jumped up and said, quit. Ain't no sense. He ran across the road. He ran into a bar room. Glory to God. Bought him some liquor. Sat down at the table. Pulled out his pistol, drunk him a big swallow, and screamed, I'm going to hell, and I don't care! I'm going to hell,
and I don't care. I want to tell you tonight, if you're in the sound of my voice, and you're inside this building, and you leave the same way you came, young boy, you leave the same way you come, young man, young girl, young woman, even you're saying, I'm going to hell, and I don't care. I'm down lost, and I don't care. Oh, God! Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm going to hell, and I don't care. Tonight in this service, come on now, come on here. You can look at me and smile and say, preach hard if you want to, preacher. Try to reach me if you want to. But with your smile, you're saying, I'm going to hell, and I don't care. I'm going to hell, and I don't care. But I want to tell you, the moment you end up in eternity, you'll be screaming for a million years. Give me one more chance. Just one more. Raise your hands and ask God, help me to reach somebody tonight in this place. My God, son, don't go to hell. Don't let the devil take you to hell. I'm closing in a matter of moments. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not playing. You're not playing a game tonight. The devil's playing for keeps. I said the devil's playing for keeps. Listen to me. Preaching revival in South Georgia. Sitting on the back row was a red-headed boy. In that little country town where I was preaching, I began to preach that night on a place where God Himself can't even help you. I preached on a place called hell. And I began to reach for this boy and I began to tell the story of my summer friend. I spent the summer with my granny and he was one of my best friends at my granny's, named Jason. We had the same age. We were seniors, juniors going to our senior year. We was both the first grandchildren. We were both, you know, best friends, you know. Every summer we played and had fun. And that summer, out of being in camp meeting, headed to McGrinney's on Thursday night, Thursday evening, Jason walked out of the house and said, Mom, I'm going whitewater rafting. I live in North Georgia. He said, I'll be home in a little while. Got on his inner tube, 17 years old, him and seven other boys. Floating down the river, the flood, the waters had been raised, or it had been raining. And then that ravaging, raving river, the rapids, Jason going down. When the undertow, somehow or another, the water raging so hard, knocked him off his inner tube. And he began to suck him down. And his buddy said that he came up screaming, help me, man! Help me! Help me! Come here, Brother Robinson. Amen. And his buddy, his best friend, head and he told his mother this. Get right there. He said, Jason was reaching for me. He said, I was reaching for him. He said, and the tip of Jason's finger touched mine. And he said, and I was about to grab him when that water sucked him under. And he went down. And they found him 3 days later, face first in a pond that ran into the river. The river ran into dead. And I preached that night. You're in the palm of my hand. And I'm a reaching for you. Don't you let go. Don't you leave. I went back to this red-headed boy. And I don't go to people unless God deals with me. And I went back to this red-headed boy. I said, son, God's talking to you. He's beginning to weep. He said, preacher, don't talk to me now. Leave me alone. I said, son, you need to get saved. He said, no, preacher, not now. Not now. Glory to God. I turned around and walked back to the pulpit. And the Holy Ghost said, you ask him again. And I said, son, you don't want to go to hell. Come to the women and pray. He said, no, Peter, turn around. And the Holy Ghost said, ask him one more time. And I turned around and asked him one more time. Not even a year later, he been upside down in a ditch. He been drunk on alcohol, spaced out with marijuana in his blood veins. He died and went into eternity. Not even a year. I'm telling you tonight, you don't play with the devil. You don't play with sin. You either turn from your sin tonight and repent and beg God's forgiveness, or you die lost. I'm almost finished. I'm through. Renee. Every time I preach like this, I cannot seem to lay down and I preach like this. Young girl shouted with me, sung in the youth car beside me, was supposed to have been my first love. I thought we were just 12-year-old, you know, 13-year-old. Shouted and prayed and cried. She was part of our youth group till finally one day the world got to looking a whole lot better to her than what God did. She went her way. I stayed in my place. It wasn't but a matter of months. On Saturday before Monday, Scott was with me. Coming back from riding horses, Brother Thurman. Me and a bunch of the young folks, I stopped in front of her house. Turned my blinker on, Brother Billy, and was going to turn in her driveway. I said, I guess I can wait till Monday or Tuesday. He said, I'll be going by here anyway. Don't got time. Pulled away from that driveway and left. Monday night I didn't have time either. Tuesday night I didn't have time. Because around 6 o'clock the phone rings. Another one of our backslid boys in the youth group began to scream. I said, hello. He's squalling, couldn't understand what he's saying. He said, Greg, you ain't heard about it. I said, what, Derek? What's wrong? And he said, Renee. I said, what? He said, just a few minutes ago, coming back from a swimming hole, going from the front seat to the back seat to change clothes. Her knee hit the steering wheel, slung the car out of control. And out of four girls, only one of them got seven stitches. But it messed Renee up so bad they couldn't even open her casket. You talking about falling on my face? So I walked in that funeral home. Walked down seemed like such a long, long aisle. To look at a body that I could not see in the casket with pictures of her winning beauty pageants and winning this. To touch that casket and cried and wept and said, if I only had a known 15 years old and in eternity in a matter of just moments. Sunday before Christmas this year. Sunday before Christmas. Brand new car bought for Christmas. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to see how fast this can go, Josh said. I'm going to see how fast it can go. Amen. Had over a gram of cocaine in his veins. Graduated the they were healed. They were saved. And tonight, you're in this house. You've been bit by the serpent of sin. And the only remedy, look to the cross. Look to Jesus. There's still power. Wonder-working power. In the blood. I'm finished. Come, sister, when this is here. You know what I want you to say? Don't ever listen to me. I preached a youth camp for 2 years now. As I talk by the spirit of my sister. Preaching revival in this girl's home church. 17 years old. Summer before that, I preached their camp. Preached one night on hell. I got so scared, Sister Jackson. That's why I told you to pray for me. I got the older preacher to hold my hand. Was you there? Thought y'all were there. Night I cut out the lights and preached on hell. I got one of the older preachers to hold my hand while I preach because I was so scared. Hundred and some young folks in the congregation. The Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, tell somebody. They won't be here next year. Looked over that crowd. Spun my finger around and said, hey, one of you will not be here next year. I got pictures. A 17-year-old girl laid over that altar. Cried to put me to tears was on that altar. She stayed saved a month and a half out of camp. Met the wrong boy. Met the wrong boy and began to live a life full of sin. I was preaching revival in her home church, and I'm this
like this with their pastor. Their church is one of my favorite churches I go to. He was with me. She came that night. March and said right halfway back. Her and this boy. She came to the altar that night and just cried a few tears. Scott got down and prayed with her. I prayed with her. She got up out of the altar. No message was given out. No strong spirit of conviction. Just what we have tonight. Shook her hand on her way out and said, "You want to go out to eat?" "Well, all the young folks, sure." Little Timmy back. I wish I could get that night back. Every day of my life, the time I kneel down to pray, give me that night back, God. Give me that night back. She walked out. The last thing I remember hearing from her, she called on Saturday. We had already made plans, and she said, "I'm going to the mall." She had asked the pastor's daughter and all of the young folks that were there, did they want to go? And we had done made plans, and we didn't get to go with them. July. Plan on getting herself ready for camp. July, I'm on the Alabama River for 2 days. No phone. Leave their job all the way to Atlanta to a camp meeting. Walk in on Thursday morning. Sister Marcina walks up to me and says, "Brother Greg, so-and-so's trying to get in touch with you." I said, "What's wrong?" Called her pastor on the phone. And he sobbed and cried for the first few minutes on that phone. I said, "Preacher, what happened?" He said, "Son, I don't know." She called her daddy on Tuesday night and said, "I'll be there tomorrow night." Wednesday morning at 7:30. Boss man says she is happy. Like nothing was wrong. You just had to know her. That was her. Jolly, laughing, cutting up. He said, "Son," said, "she went to work. I'm down the road." Reached down to pick a cigarette up, he said, or either put her makeup on or turn the radio station. He said, "I don't know. It could have been a number of things." Hit the railing and snatched that steering wheel, and through the meeting she went. Hit the back end of a diesel truck, hitting her so hard it tore her out of the seatbelt. I drove from Atlanta, Georgia to this town and got there. Walked into that funeral home. First person to grab me was her 15-year-old brother. Tears dripping off of his chin. He said these words, "You told her?" I thought, "What's he talking about?" "You told her?" I thought, "What are you talking?" He said, "You told her!" I called his name. I said, "Man." He said, "Brother Greg, you said it in camp. She wouldn't be here if she ain't." Sit on the platform, on that great pastor's platform. Sat there. She died 5 miles from her church. 5 miles from where she shouted. 5 miles where she had prayed before. 5 miles. They were asked to sing. her favorite song. So many directions, all the roads look the same. You gave me instruction, and I disregarded in shame. Sad destruction, I soon come my way, and I'll have to say, I've got my own self to blame, 'cause you never left me. When I turned my back, you never left me. Even when I walked away, you never left me. When I fought that day, her favorite song had to be changed. She could honestly say he never left her. But he wasn't with her that day unless she had time to pray from one side of the road to the other side. She's in eternity today. I'm finished. In respect to the Holy Ghost, in respect to the Spirit of God, everybody in this building stand. Everybody in respect to the Spirit stand. Hallelujah. Brother Billy and Brother Glenn and them was talking last night. Gilbert Town, Alabama, close to these folks from Mississippi. Friday, Valentine's Day, Saturday. 17-year-old boy run and played with God. Prayed every revival. But on Friday in chapel at the Christian school, God dealt with him. Sister Wanda, he fell on that altar and repented and cried for over an hour and a half. Wept and cried for an hour and a half. Said, I've been running from the call to preach. Today, I'm tired of running. I'm saying yes to God. Valentine banquet at Gilbert Town. Picks his girlfriend up, takes her there. At her Valentine banquet, takes her home. 5 minutes from leaving her. Went into eternity upside down in a ditch. Hadn't even been saved less than just a few hours. Saying it up close. Raise your hands, thanks to God. Thank you, God, for His truth. The Lord gave Sister Wendy this song at a teenage girl's funeral. She's going to start with the second verse. She sings this and goes through. I want you to come on right now. Sing, Sister Wendy. Listen. Her head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking at me.
Why do you lie and say you never?
Why don't you come on right now, young man?
Face God's throne.
Come on.
No matter how real.
You're not talking to me, preacher.
God knows the day.
But there's hundreds and hundreds.
But still,
in hell denied and said, it'll never be me.
I'm okay.
It'll never be me. Here's what some of you are saying tonight, saying,
it'll never be me who takes my last breath.
You think it'll never be you?
Be me.
Come on, young boy. Come on, young girl. Run to this altar tonight, sir.
Who has to stand before God?
Come on, come on. Don't die tonight and go to hell.
It'll never be me. I'm on.
God's talking to you, young man. God brought you here tonight to talk to you, sir. God's talking to you, son. God's talking to you, girls.
It'll never.
God's talking to you. Come on, son. Come on. Come on to this altar. Come on, let the Lord help you. Come on, let the Lord help you. Come on, kneel down right here. Come on,
took away.
Hey, some of you young folks need to come on right now. Every young person in this house ought to be just sitting the benches. Run into this altar tonight.
Be
come on. Oh, come on.
She won't
come on.
Songs of joy. But friendship
talking to you tonight
with God.
God's dealing with you tonight.
She said, oh,
God's dealing with you tonight.
I'm young and I'm free.
My God, you don't gotta go to hell. Everybody will come on and help us pray. There should be nobody in these pews tonight unless you're physically handicapped and cannot come. Everybody in this house ought to be on the way to this altar. These altars ought to be full.
It'll never be me who has to stand.
Hallelujah. Come on, young lady, let him help you. Come on.
It'll never be me. I've heard you say it'll never be me. I don't have time to pray. As out with people who say it'll never be me.
Come on, you need the Lord.
Yeah.